Book of Golden Stories. Another favourite from Runrig of my afternoon show guest today, Paul Lynham, who is an astronomer from Leicestershire, but as we've been hearing, has got to travel around the world. So a little time in Munich then for you.
Yeah, so following the PhD, we went on to continue that and expand the survey and refine the result we had. And that was another very informative, educative time. Got to rub shoulders with, you know, Nobel Prize winners in physics, you know, met the man who invented the laser, you know, Professor Charles Townes and so on. Very inspirational. Then at the end of that period, in 5 years in Germany, after learning to speak the language and investing the energy in that and becoming half Bavarian, I was invited to go down and work with these giant telescopes in Chile.
You've got to give us the name of this telescope, the VLT. What does that stand for?
Yes, it's a very understated name from the Europeans. It's called the Very Large Telescope.
I just love that. I think that is great. So that was actually, well, one of the world's most technologically advanced telescopes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and maybe still is. I mean, they're still now building new telescopes, and the new telescopes being built and projects being run. So at the time, the two giant telescopes, or the most productive telescopes in the world, were the VLT in Chile, the European instrumentation, at a place called Paranal, and the Americans had a place in Hawaii called the Keck Telescope, and the VLT were four telescopes with 8-meter collecting areas, 8-meter diameter, and the Americans were using two telescopes of 10 meters in diameter. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, we're looking forward to the future, and the Europeans have cut ground in Chile to build the next generation telescope, which has 40 meters aperture, a 40 meter diameter mirror, and that's called the extremely large telescope, the ELT.
I love these names, VLT and the ELT. Marvellous stuff. So what did you actually do when you were in Chile then?
Oh, that was fascinating, that we were operating those telescopes as they were ramping up. The installation was just being put in place. So we had astronomers from all over Europe and around the world coming to look at the most amazing things. So they were looking at material falling into the black hole at the centre of the Milky Way galaxy. We were measuring the mass of the black hole. We were looking for the types of gas coming out from the surface of Mars, finding methane, and that could be a biomarker. You know, we know that cows produce methane on Earth, but methane is also produced by geological activity, so it's either life or Mars has geological activity. And there were spectacular sights to see in that dark sky in the middle of the Atacama Desert at very high altitude.
Now, you were in Chile when the earthquake struck.
Yes, so I was operating or in charge of the science operation of the telescope during that interval. So the day before the earthquake, I started my shift. And then at 4:30 in the morning, I was in my bedroom and I felt a slight tremor. And I woke up in the bed and I looked, because we slept with our windows open. I could see a star against the doorframe, and I saw the star from the bed appearing and disappearing in the window. And then I got the call at about 4:30 that we should go up and see how the telescopes are doing and make sure that people were not panicking, because all of the communications were lost and the country was declared a national catastrophe. All the flights and transport connections were shut down, and we were isolated in the desert for several days, you know, probably up to a week with no communications.
Wow.
And I happened to be in the desert at that time, but I was living in Santiago in an apartment. And when I got back to Santiago, you know, the people in the apartments were saying the building shook so much that the water in the bottom of the toilets came out of the toilets onto the floor. And, you know, lots of things are smashed up in people's kitchens.
Cool. As an experience you certainly don't want to live through again, isn't it? You weren't long in Chile after that, because then you went to your current job.
Yes. So then after about 5 years, 6 years in Chile, I then went to California. So I'm now working just outside of Silicon Valley, above Silicon Valley, looking down on it, in fact, in just outside the city of San Jose, at the University of California Observatory's Lick Observatory, a very, very famous old observatory established in 1888.
Wow. And that's got a big refractor telescope, I think, a very old one, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of the greatest refractors. I think there's only one of the larger refractor telescopes, so that uses a lens to collect the light.
And so what's your emphasis these days? What are you actually doing in life?
Well, so we're involved in providing a cutting-edge telescope and observatory to the University of California Observatory and the astronomers that use the University of California, like Berkeley astronomers and Los Angeles astronomers. And we have the old refractor, and that's almost a museum piece that we use to educate the students. But we also have a relatively modern 3-metre telescope, a mirror of 3 metres, with the most advanced astronomical systems on board. And we use lasers, we fire lasers 90 kilometres up into the atmosphere at night to improve the quality of the images and the information that we collect with these telescopes. Lick Observatory was the first in the world to produce that system. and we're discovering planets on a routine basis. So we have a new automatic robotic telescope there. It's called, another uninspiring name, APF, the Automated Planet Finder, but its name is on the tin. So we are discovering planets around this. And this thing started operating in early 2014, and already we're finding, you know, planets. We found 8 planets so far. And we're educating the next generation of Californian and US astronomers.
That's wonderful. Well, the story goes on. We'll have to get you back in at some time. I know you're flying off back there, aren't you, this weekend? So we've been very lucky to catch you here. Leicestershire astronomer Paul Lynham, thank you very much for joining us today here at BBC Radio Leicester. What's your final song?
The final song is a song. All I've talked about is my path through education and the things I've learned. One of the first things I learned was to sing a song, and it was my father and my mother in the back of the car teaching me how to sing this song.